There is a major crime today afoot that all of us need to be concerned about. We're warned about it on television virtually daily. You receive things in the mail that should pique your attention to not being a victim of this crime. The crime is called identity theft. Identity theft. This is where some unauthorized person, a thief, takes your identity from you and uses it for their own benefit without your permission. They want your social security number, your credit card. They want your information in order to do their thing with it. Great havoc is wrought when somebody is able to rip off your identity. Because so often by the time you found out that they ripped off who you are, they have destroyed various aspects of your life. They have put you in debt that you didn't make. They're messing with your credit rating. They are interfering with your progress simply because they ripped off who you are to make them what they are or to give them what they have. We're warned regularly to watch out for identity theft. In the spiritual realm, there is spiritual identity theft, where the evil one wants to take from you what God has ordained for you. He wants to rip off your ID. Jesus said this in John 10:10. Talking about the devil, he says, the thief comes to kill and to destroy. The thief comes to steal and to ruin. And in that same verse, John 10:10, he says, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So what the thief wants to steal is what Jesus came to give. He wants to take your life. He wants to ruin your life by theft. It says, the thief comes. To ruin your life is to ruin your essence. It is to ruin who you are. It is to steal the life that God came to give you. Spiritual identity theft. Our series is The Benefits of Knowing God. And today I want to talk to you about a key benefit. I want to talk to you about the benefit that God brings to you as you get to know him as he wishes to be known. And that is, when you discover who he is, you'll discover who you are. People spend a lot of time and energy today trying to discover themselves, trying to find out who they really are. The problem is, our identities have been messed up by so many things. Some of us were raised in situations that's messed up how we think about ourselves and others. Some of us have had bad experiences with people that have affected negatively how we perceive ourselves, how we look at ourselves. The media is constantly inundating us with new definitions. In fact, people are so confused about their identity that they spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a professional to tell them who they are. You know your identity is off track when you spend time wishing you were somebody else. If you're spending time wishing you were so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, that either means you don't know who you are or you don't think much of who you are, because your identity has been messed over. Men spend a lot of time with identity theft. That's why we spend so much time wearing jerseys with other folks' numbers on them. Because we don't have our own number yet. And so we have to piggyback on the identity of this superstar or that superstar, that great performer. That's what groupies are all about. People become groupies over stars and entertainers, so perhaps I can piggyback off of their notoriety. Because I question my own. People are in search of an ID. That's why, I hope you know, big business is getting fake IDs. So that I can somehow know who I am. We all saw the series Roots many years ago when it came out. It was about a 20th century man going back in time to find out who he was by discovering from whence he came. Identity is a key thing. People are desperate for it. People pay for it. People compromise their integrity for it. For the realization of my own dignity, my own substance, my own significance, I want to know who I am. People get dressed up to get their identity. Because if I look good, then somebody else is going to see me and tell me I look good. And which will make me feel better about myself. If you say I'm pretty or I'm handsome, then I feel better about who I am. You've helped me perk up about my identity. But the problem is, like mannequins in a department store window, you can look good but still not have life. You can simply be for the moment on stage looking good. The thief has come to rob you of the thing that Jesus came to give you. I have come to give you life. And not only to give you life, but to give it to you more abundantly. That means super living. So if you're defined by depression, if you're defined by discouragement, if you're defined by unfulfillment, it is because you have not been properly defined by your identity. So you and I, we chase things to help us feel better about ourselves because the thief comes to rob you of the life that Jesus came to give. The thief comes to kill and to destroy. I have come, Jesus says, to give you life. Give you life in fulfillment, abundantly, super living, not just average, ordinary, regular, trying to get by life. Trying to get by. I hope I can make it. This identity problem has caused chaos in our world today. Because people are looking for their identity in the wrong place. And help me out here. If you're searching for who you are, but you don't know who you are, how will you know when you found you? The discovery of the authentic you, the real you, as you were meant to be. Paul says in our scripture today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he leads off with a profound statement in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. He goes on to say in verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God. This is profound. Stay with me here. Paul says, we know no man after the flesh. In other words, to put it in everyday English, we don't evaluate things merely by their physical appearance. The flesh, the physical, the things that you can see and taste and touch. He says, that's not now my point of evaluation. He says, when you really want to understand the essence of a thing, what's really there in you, in others, he says, don't go by the flesh. That is, the things that are tangible, because you won't see in that all there is to be seen. You can be faked out. There are not a few people here who've been faked out by an external. You've been faked out. He looked good, she looked good. Now you're living with him and you discovered you were faked. He says, we know no man according to the flesh. In other words, that is not our point of evaluation. That's not how we measure the reality or the true identity of a thing. And then he darts right to Christians and he says, if any man is in Christ, a Christian, he is a new creation. He is a brand new being, a new creation. If you are saved, you have been recreated in Christ. Old things have passed away and new things have come. If you have been born again, saved, justified, regenerated, converted, take whatever term you want, the Bible says that inside of you, something brand new was placed, and it was a brand new creation. Listen, a butterfly is not a patched up caterpillar. A butterfly is not a caterpillar that had surgery. It's not a caterpillar that you kind of worked on for a while and you turned it into a butterfly. A butterfly is a brand new creation being created. It's not the same as a caterpillar. It is totally different. The problem is its creation is happening on the inside. You can't fiddle with a caterpillar and make it a butterfly. The new thing being created on the inside has got to come out. The new creation. See, a lot of us are trying to patch up something God is not interested in patching up. We're spending time trying to fix something God's not trying to fix. Because God says what I'm doing is totally new, and it comes with your birth, your new birth, your new creation. Let me put it another way. Your identity is tied to your birth. Let me say that again. Who you are is tied to your birth. Once you get confused about your birth, you'll get confused about your life. I am a male. I am all male. By birth. Every man in this room is a male. By birth, the plumbing tells you so. Every female here is a woman by birth. Your birth has defined you. But the devil is a thief. So what he's done is confused a lot of men about who they are. And a bunch of women about who they are, because they are measuring who they are by some other standard than their birth. If you were born with male plumbing, you are a man whether you feel like it. You are a man because of your birth. Now, if you got other stuff going on that doesn't make you feel mannish, you've got to bring the other stuff in line with your birth. You don't change your birth in line of the other stuff. Same thing with females. But what we've got today are laws making it convenient to forget your birth and to go to other sources of identification. And when you make it okay, publicly acceptable and even legal to skip your birth in order to satisfy your feelings or preferences, you have become a confused person and you're living in a confused world. Because the devil wants to steal the life that comes with the new creation, which is the new birth, the salvation that God has given you. He wants to confuse that. And so people today are walking around defining themselves by the flesh. That is, defining themselves by the external realities, whether it's how they look, how they feel, what they like to do versus what they like don't like to do. That becomes their definition. And you know it's their definition because they say, I am. See, whenever you say I am, that's a definition term. You're saying, I am now defining myself by telling you who I am. Paul says that we no longer, as a Christian, now that you're saved, now that you are a new creation, how would you feel if a butterfly could talk and the butterfly says, well, I'm just a prettier caterpillar? You would say that's a confused butterfly. Because that's not what it is. But as long as it's being defined that way, it won't function to the degree it was meant to function. Because here it is, your identity will determine your future. In other words, if you define yourself wrong, you'll function wrongly. If you define yourself right, you're now on the path to functioning right because you've defined yourself accurately. I am an American by birth. I was born an American. That defines my nationality, my birth. Because who you are is defined by your birth. Many of you have been here long enough to remember my former pastoral assistant. He came through our church, graduated from Dallas Seminary. Everything about Icky is black. If you're around Icky, he is a soulful dude. Icky, if he preaches, he preaches black. Icky only dated black women. Icky's favorite music is soul music. Icky loves pork chops, ham hocks, fried chicken, greens, you know, cornbread, and ribs. Icky's in the watermelons. I mean, Icky, everything about Icky is black. He married a black woman. But when Icky has to sign his national origin, he writes Chinese. Because that's his birth. Icky's Chinese. But everything about his function is black. But when he has to sign what he really is, he puts Chinese because that's his birth. Because his action doesn't define his birth. What God wants to say to us today is he wants us to clarify our identity. Because if we ever clarify our identity in terms of our birth, any man who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed, new things have come. Then you're clarifying not only who you are, but now you're clarifying where you're going because you know who you are. So my goal here is to help all of us begin the process of discovering ourselves again for the first time. Because if the truth be told, if I were to ask you, who are you? Most of us would tell us our name. Or like men always do, men get together and they introduce each other. And the first thing a man will ask another man is, what do you do? Because men are defined by their work and their profession. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm an engineer, I'm an athlete. Because that's define me. That's why when the professional athletes are leaving the game and they're crying, they're not just crying because they can't play football anymore. They're crying because now they have to rediscover themselves. Because football was their identity. That was who they were. And now they've got to rediscover, who am I? Because they've been defined by their function. If any man is in Christ, this is for Christians. He is a new creation, something new, something fresh, something brand new. The old is no longer the place of definition. And certainly the flesh is not. The physical, the external, the human. Paul says, we don't even look at Jesus that way. When he was on earth, yes, we saw the man, but now that he's not here, we relate to him, but not as flesh. We don't see him that way anymore. He's in heaven now. You see, our problem is we've got too many voices telling us who we are. We got too many things in our ears trying to define us. Well, who's supposed to define me? He says at the beginning of verse 18, now all these things are from God. All what things? The new things. All things are new. And he says all the new things are from God. What's the point? The point is you are now to be defined only as God defines you. Because the new things, the birth things, have come from him. So if you want to know who you are, you must let him tell you, stop telling yourself. And stop letting everybody you know tell you. Because the people telling you don't even know who they are. So they sure enough can't be telling you who you are. See, we're getting our self-definition from flawed sources, including ourselves. That's why we're messed up in our relationships. See, if your daddy told you what it is to be a man and what it is to be a husband, and he was messed up, what makes you think you now know how to be a man and how to be a husband and how to be a father when the man who told you was messed up himself? If you were raised with a matriarchal, bossy, controlling mama, and she was telling you how to be a woman, how to be a wife, and how to be a mother, well, what makes you think that that information is going to transfer to you in a way that you're going to be the right woman, the right mother, the right wife? You see, you're operating according to the flesh, to the human perspective, which is always, always, always flawed by sin, circumstances, history, background, all kinds of things. It's flawed. The reason why we're not discovering our self-identity and therefore the purpose that should derive out of our self-identity is that we have allowed the flesh to identify us rather than the new creation, the creation of our birth. Because all that, he says, is new. And all these new things are from God. Let me show you how comprehensive this is. Look at the book of Acts real quick. Acts chapter 17. Paul is speaking at Athens, and in one of the most profound scriptures in the New Testament on God, one of the most profound scriptures, it doesn't get a lot of attention, a lot of playtime, but it's potent. In Acts 17, verse 24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. That knocks out evolution, okay? Having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him, in God, we live and move and exist, as even some of your own prophets have said, for we also are his children. God has boxed you into God. You're boxed into God, whether you know it or not, or whether you like it or not. Now, the non-Christian is boxed into God. He just doesn't know it or doesn't like it or doesn't function in it. But the Christian who is in Christ and is a new creation, God is creating this new thing inside of you because you're in him. He's in you. So this new being you're supposed to be is being created inside of you. And it is all from God. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you discover who he is, you'll discover who you are. If you ignore who he is in you, you'll never fully discover who you are, and you'll live your life in trial and error trying to locate yourself. And then you'll finally think, I found myself, only to discover that what you found is messed up. It's problematic. That's why we deal with so many things and wind up saying, that's not me. Because we thought we found me and now I'm contradicting me. So we look to jobs, we look to friends, we even look to religion. You know, you go anywhere today and you'll find tattoo parlors. Tattoo parlors everywhere. This explosion of tattooism. People painting their body from head to toe. One day a man was asked, what is it about all these tattoos? And he said, oh, simple. Before tattoo on body, tattoo on mind. What he was saying is, painting all your body like that? He's saying, they have painted minds. And all you're seeing on their body is the outgrowth of this mental thing. Trying to get description, trying to get some expression of reality. You say, well, I don't paint my body to have tattoos, but sometimes we paint our faces. You know, when a woman colors her hair, if you really want to know the true color, you got to get to the root. You got to wade through all that stuff. You got to wade through all that hair, that weave. You got to wade through all of that to get to the root. Because it is at the root that you discover the reality. So you just look at the top and you can become impressed. Nice hair, nice color and all that. But if you want to see, because some people who think they're spiritual blondes are really carnal brunettes. You got to get to the root. The root will tell you what the reality is. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's the root. That's the birth. That's the new life. Old things are no longer to be the defining things. It is the new things, and those new things only come from God. So if you want to find you, let me save you some money. Because I know some folk will charge you $250 an hour to help you find you. And 5 years from now, after you've been paid tens of thousands of dollars, you will still be trying to locate you, or you will have been faked out to who you really are. God says, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, you are a new creation. You're no longer the caterpillar. And all these things are from God. Now, when a caterpillar is converting into a butterfly, there is a transitional struggle. When a caterpillar is being converted, there is a transitional struggle. It's got to struggle out what it was and what it was locked into what it's supposed to be. The caterpillar will cocoon. It'll get on the side of a tree, on the bark, and it will cocoon. If you walk by a cocooning caterpillar who's being converted into a glorious butterfly, the cocoon will move a little bit. The cocoon will move a little bit. That's because there's a battle going on inside. The new life, the new creation is trying to get up out of there. The new creation wants to break free, but it's been trapped in this cocoon. So there's a battle going on between what it was and what it's created to be. It's battling. And anybody who's a serious Christian have been in this battle between what I was outside of Christ and what I know I'm supposed to be inside of Christ. And they got this war going on, and it's back and forth because the cocoon is shaking. When you see a cocoon moving, don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with that shaking cocoon. Because see, if you say, I'm going to help the butterfly out, let me set this butterfly free, because it's trying to get out. It wants to get out. It's just the cocoon is too hard and it can't get out. And you slit it open. Butterfly can't fly. Butterfly may not even live, because the butterfly needs the struggle to strengthen the wings. See, every time that cocoon moves, that means the butterfly's wings are pushing out. And while it's sweating, while it's getting a headache, while it's hurting, and while it's struggling, it's also strengthening the wings. So when the wings get strong enough, it bursts the cocoon, and that baby's ready to take off. The struggle is necessary to the development so that it can become what it was designed to be, and that means no longer grounded. No longer being held hostage to earth. it can now fly to heaven. We're not talking about a patched up caterpillar. We're talking about a transformed creation. Any man who's in Christ, that means you're not an exception if you're a Christian. You say, but you don't know my background. No. But I know your creation. Yeah, but you don't know my history. I don't, but I know your creation. Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. I don't, but I know if Christ is in you, any man, woman, boy, girl, any person who's in Christ has a butterfly developing within them. No matter how jacked up the cocoon shell is. But see, the thief, the identity stealer, doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to think that you are what you do, that you are what you were raised to be, that you are something external. That's why you have racial problems in the church so long. You have racial problems because even Christians are measuring each other by the flesh, by skin color. And they use that as a measuring stick. See, Christians can get into this thing of using the external, of using the human, rather than the new creation as the defining point. And how does the new creation work? Here it is. All these things, verse 18, all these things. Did it say some of these things, many of these things, most of these things? The only way the new creation works is it has to draw from God. You discover who you are when you discover who he is operating within you. How do you come to this discovery? How do you find this out? Did you know a good sinner is unacceptable to God because he's got a birth defect? He may be a nice father, nice husband, nice employer, charitable, and all that. But God says that man I am not related to because he was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. He has a birth defect. God measures him by his birth or lack of rebirth, lack of being born again. Here's how it works. When you trusted Jesus Christ, you became a new creation. 2 Peter 1:3 says, you received the divine nature. God deposited his life in you in spirit form. There was a deposit in you. Now here's the key. 1 Peter 1:23 says this. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. Now here it is. Your new identity in Christ is in seed form. Your new identity in Christ is in seed form. You were born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. Or James 1:21 says, receive the word that has been implanted in you. Your new creation that is inside of you, once you are saved, is inside of you as a seed. In order for the seed to be realized for its potential, it must grow. A watermelon seed has a whole lot of potential. That little seed has the potential of becoming something whopping big. An acorn has got a whole bunch of potential. It's got the potential to become an oak. But only if it grows. If that watermelon seed does not grow, it'll never see its potential. If that acorn never grows, it'll still be an acorn. It'll still be an oak waiting to happen, but you'll never see that oak tree. Because its new creation, its life, was never fully manifested. Why are we not experiencing more victory, overcoming more strongholds, arising out of more difficulty, even though we're trying? We're going to church, we're reading our Bible, we're doing all, because the seed is not growing. And we're doing all this peripheral stuff. Okay, Let's say I have some seeds in my hand. We'll just stick with watermelon. Okay, I got watermelon seeds in my hand. That means I've got potential in my hand. That also means I've got life in my hand. I'm holding life because the life of a watermelon is in my hand. I got the seed. I want watermelon, though. A seed isn't the same as watermelon. I want watermelon. I don't want a seed. So let me pray. Let me pray. Let me spend time with God because I want watermelon. Father, oh, great creator of watermelons, I have seed, watermelon seed in my hand, and I'm asking, oh God, great God Almighty, to do something with this seed because I want watermelon. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. We won't have a prayer time together. Let's get a group of us to pray over the seed. So let's pray. Let's pray. Let's get in a circle, hold hands, and pray that God does something with this seed because I want watermelon. Come on, let's open up our Bibles and read. Let's read what the scripture says about God creating the seed. And when he created the seed, he created life. And we got seed in our hand. And now we're reading the Bible over it. Come on, let's bring the watermelon seed to church. Let's just let it sit on a pew and call for deliverance. You deliver, 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 deliver in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I want watermelon, I want watermelon, I want watermelon. I prayed over it. I read the Bible over it. I brought it to church. I had y'all pray for it too. Nothing gonna change. A watermelon's not gonna pop up on that pew. Nothing is gonna change. I did all the religious stuff, and I'm still not gonna see a watermelon. Because the ability for the seed to become a watermelon is tied to the soil in which it is placed. If it is not placed in the right soil, the seed will never reach potential. It's all about the soil. That's why Jesus gives this illustration. He says the sower went out to sow, and he spread the seeds all around. And then it says, and the devil came, because he's a thief. The devil came and ate the seed before it could lodge in the heart so that it could produce the fruit. Listen, most of you, if not all of you, have forgotten last week's sermon, much to my chagrin. You have forgotten last week's sermon. You may be able to word, maybe you remember the word abide. All right? But you have forgotten last week's sermon. Now, one reason why you may have forgotten it is you're forgetful, other things happen during the week, and you forgot. That's not the main reason you don't remember it. Let me tell you the main reason you can't recall last week's sermon. Because the job of the devil is to steal it before you get to your car. He doesn't want the seed to settle in the soil. Because once the seed settles in the soil, into the heart, once the seed settles in the soul, once it lodges there, it's going to now produce life. He does not want you to experience life or identity from God's point of view. So he robs the seed. So you may even forget the sermon before you get home because he keeps stealing the seed and you wonder why there's no growth because the seed never lodges in the soil. It is the lodging of the seed in the soil that produces life, not the periphery around it. That's why David said, I meditate on your word day and night. That's why David says, I think about this stuff. That's why I abide, I hang out with you because I want this thing to lodge. And when you place the right seed in the right soil and give it the right environment with water, it will grow. You don't have to force it, make it, go through gyrations to get it to grow. You just place the right seed in the right soil and you water that thing from above. It will grow. And acorns, who would ever thought in something that big, you get a tree that big? Who ever thought that if God could expand his nature inside of you and me, we would see spiritual growth and transformation because we will now be operating on a new identity. It's all related to the seed of your birth. You are to appeal to your birth, who you are in Christ. When somebody wants to steal your life because you're going to testify against them, the United States has a witness protection program. They got a program for you, where they legally change your identity. Now, you look the same, but you've been re-identified. New Social Security number, new name, new location, new everything. Everything about the old you is wiped away. And now they come with a new legal designation for you to keep somebody from stealing your life. Guess what they do? They re-identify you. They put you in a re-identification program. Every Christian has been put in a special program. And it's a reclassification program. You are no longer you after the flesh. That is no longer your designation. In fact, there's a legal word for it. You were justified. That means you were declared righteous. That means God has now a new legal designation by which you are to identify yourself. Your point of reference now is to be Jesus Christ and your relationship to him. Because guess what? That's who you are now. You are a son or daughter of the living God. The Queen of England, her daughter, was slouching in the chair. The Queen said, sit up, girl. She kept slouching. Sit up, girl. She kept slouching. Sit up, girl. Finally, she looked at her and said, girl, I told you to sit up. Don't you know who you are? Finally, she appealed to her identity as the daughter of the Queen. When she was reminded about who she was, she changed her posture. See, we keep saying, do right, do right, do better, do better. Stop this, stop this, stop that, stop that. And those are good things. You ought to sit up right. But when you connect it with your identity, when you understand your realization as to who you are in Christ, it changes everything because now you are talking to your true self. See, we're talking to the wrong person. We're talking to a false self. Because we talk to us, but the us we're talking to is messed up as the person talking to it. So we got one person talking to another person, and they're both us, and they're both messed up. He says, I no longer judge things according to the flesh, man's point of view, the human approach. Now, I'm going to tell you, your cocoon is going to shake. Because when you find out how God defines a man and how God defines a husband, that's going to change how you thought a man should be defined and what you thought a husband was supposed to do. I know you may have heard it from your daddy, and you may have heard it from your posse, and you may have heard it from your boys, and you may have watched it on TV, but we know no man after the flesh. All those views are irrelevant once they conflict with God's point of view. So once you discover that, and you set yourself as a seed in that soil, you will now begin to be identified as a man God's way. When you have identified yourself as a woman and a wife, and you had your view and your thoughts and what it ought to look like and what my role ought to be and all that, and now you're running to God, I'm going to tell you now that your cocoon is going to shake because you're going to run into conflict with what your mama told you and what your girlfriend said and what your lady friends thought and what you see on TV. You're going to run into conflict because that's the nature of that. But when you set the seed in the soil and you receive God's point of view and reject man's point of view, now you will see the new identity bursting forth. And with it, new power, new clarity, new guidance, new everything, being able to hear from God, because God is now not having to compete with your daddy or your mama or your friends. Because in him you live and move and have your being. In him he is to be your only point of reference. In other words, everything you hear about anything must be measured from the perspective of him. Because all these things, all the new things, all the things in the new creation are from God. He's now given you your new legal designation. And I know it. I see couples cocooning. I see individuals cocooning because they're struggling with this. God is saying this, but I'm like this, and I was raised like that, and you're struggling. No. It's natural to go through that struggle. But when you make that decision to plant this seed in God's soil, even though I must reject the flesh, the human point of view, now you'll see growth. Until you do that, you won't see growth, which means you'll be confused about identity. You'll be walking around saying, well, the Bible says this is supposed to happen, but I never see it happen. Why? Because this seed is not in soil. This seed trying to grow outside of the soil. All these things must be planted in the soil from God. That goes for me. That goes for you. That goes for us. And that's why we're not seeing more. This was convicting when I went through this, studying this, because that explains a lot. That explains why we're not seeing what God says we ought to be seeing because we are not the people he recreated us to be. We are butterflies still wanting to hang out in caterpillars. So if you're going to hang out in a caterpillar, don't fuss that you can't fly. You're hanging out in the wrong environment. That's not the environment where God's doing his thing. Let me give you a little simple exercise for your identity, a little closing exercise. I want to give some identities, and I just want to put Jesus' name attached to it. I am a homosexual in Jesus' name. I am a pervert in Jesus' name. I am a drug addict in Jesus' name. I am a pornographer in Jesus' name. I'm a child molester in Jesus' name. I'm lazy in Jesus' name. I'm a woman abuser in Jesus' name. I'm in debt over my head in Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name I am what I am. Now, I don't know about you, but that don't sound right to me. It doesn't sound to me like in Jesus' name goes after any of those things. Because you and I know Jesus and those things don't go together. But now if I switched it and said, I'm full of joy in Jesus' name. I have purpose in Jesus' name. I've got victory in Jesus' name. I've been delivered in Jesus' name. I'm managing my finances in Jesus' name. I've got a solid family in Jesus' name. I've gotten out of that addiction in Jesus' name. You ain't gonna have a problem with that because you know Jesus' name goes with that. So all you got to do is attach Jesus to anything you call you and see whether they go together. And if they don't go together, that's not who you are, because you are a new creature in Jesus Christ, and his name should be attached to anything you declare yourself to be. And if he can't be attached to it, that's not who you are. That's not your identity. That's a lie, and the thief is trying to steal your identity. And when he tries to steal your identity, guess what he's trying to do now? He's trying to take your potential. Do you know that's why abortion is so bad? The problem with abortion is that you've robbed a child, not only you've robbed them of their life, but in stealing their life, you have stolen their potential. In other words, everything they could have been, they can never be because of a theft out of the womb. There was a seed planted in the right place that a foreigner comes in and takes out of the womb, taking the potential that this child would have had that it can no longer have because the thief has stolen the seed. Now, why is that important biblically? Because in the Bible, many of the things God promised were promised to seeds. God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and your seed. He didn't have a baby yet. There was no pregnancy yet. But in the mind of God, he could speak about blessing his seed because he knew the potential that would be there when the seed came. Can you imagine if any of Abraham's lineage that came through David had an abortion, Jesus wouldn't have been born and there would be no savior for our sins to keep us out of hell. If there was an abortion in the line of Abraham through the line of David to take out one of those babies out of the womb, killing the potential of Jesus Christ being born, so there would be no eternal life, there would be no heaven, there would be no future, because in taking the seed, you kill the potential. And what Satan is doing in spiritual identity theft is he's stealing our potential by killing our identity. But when all of these things are from him, when he becomes the circumference of your point of reference, and when you say, like the scripture says, let God be true and every man, the flesh, a liar. Every man a liar. When they disagree with God, they're a liar, even if you have to call yourself a liar. Then you are planting the seed in soil where it can grow, and you'll be amazed to see the Spirit of God clarify your identity.